Teacher Session 10 with our study in Psalms. We cover Psalm 32, 1 through 11. If you read this text, it's pretty clear the theme right from the beginning. David is the author and of this particular psalm, and he is talking about what it means to be forgiven. And hopefully your class is full of people who have been forgiven, people who knew Christ as Savior. But there also may be people in your class that don't know what it's like to be forgiven. And you want to make sure you call them to repentance and to the forgiveness that's available in Christ. This particular lesson covers Psalm 32, 1 to 11. And this is really the objective you're trying to point to, that we should seek God's forgiveness because it produces three amazing results. We're going to see that in the text here. Starting in verse 1 and 2, you're going to see the first result from forgiveness. That's the result of joy. The Bible says, David says here in the psalm, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." That word blessed, happy, joyful, content. There's this idea of a peaceful contentedness. If you've ever had the pain or the anguish that comes with being guilty and knowing you're guilty and knowing that there's going to be all these consequences for sin and that all that's all part of life, and then to be resolved of that, that's a huge, huge relief. And here basically what the converse is also true. When you are guilty and you have a guilty conscience and you're always looking over your shoulder because you did something wrong, you have sin that you know that could be paid for, man, that is a burden to bear. That's what he ends up talking about in the next section. So you have this blessing, this joy that comes from having your sins forgiven, and we should pursue God's forgiveness. Ultimately, he's the one that forgives everything because it produces joy. It also produces, number two, relief. He says in verse 3, "When I kept silence," meaning when I wasn't confessing my sin, when I would admit what I did wrong, when I tried to hide my sin, what happened? "My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." There's literally like aging, he's saying, that's happening because of the guilt that he was experiencing. Verse 4, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Obviously, Selah, this obviously wasn't a happy thing. There's a physical response, and man, he's not in a good place. David's literally saying there's a when I wasn't confessing my sin, when I wasn't getting forgiveness of sin because I wouldn't confess it, it literally had a physical effect on me. In fact, that kind of harkens back to our text last week where that was all over the passage. He says in verse 5, this is what he does instead. "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord," and here's the relief, "and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." When I confessed and didn't hide, when I was transparent and didn't conceal, that's when I experienced forgiveness. And as a result, that's when the physical effects, I think, inferred here, it goes away. That's when there's a relief. That's when I can say I'm blessed because my sins are forgiven. My transgressions forgiven. My sins covered. God hasn't imputed iniquity. There's no deceit now because there's no guile now because I've admitted I'm sinful. I've admitted what I've done wrong. There's a lot of reasons to do that because God already knows, right? We should pursue God's forgiveness because he already knows about our sin. And then that leads to number three, protection. You're going to see protection all throughout the next few verses. Verse 6, he says, For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Basically saying, godly people, for a human to be called godly, they would have to be someone who agrees with God on sin. And he's essentially saying, if you're godly, you're going to be transparent. You're going to confess. And when you confess, God's there. He's ready. He can be found. He's ready to forgive. And it says, kind of laying this out, verse 6, surely in the flood of great waters they shall come, they shall not come nigh unto him. The thing that produces the harm, the difficulty, here, the flood of great waters, you're protected from that, right? Verse 7, thou art my hiding place. God himself is his hiding place, the one who, the refuge. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. You see protection there? Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That's an amazing, that's a picture of like God saying, I'm going to deliver you, I'm going to protect you, and I'm even going to sing about my deliverance for you, Selah. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Verse 8 is kind of interesting because people debate, and it's really a question, who's the one speaking here? Is this David speaking, now that I'm forgiven, I'm going to instruct other people? Or is this David almost like quoting God, almost like he's quoting the songs that God might sing, that God's going to instruct and teach? Obviously, we know that David isn't the one who is the source of knowing which way to go or the source of direction. Any direction that he gives to instruct other people about would be direction that he got from God himself. And so I'm inclined to think that he is quoting God here. But even if David's the one instructing, either way, ultimately the source is God. And he's saying basically, hey, if you want direction away from the flood, away from the difficulty, away from going in a direction that's going to not be good for you, follow after God. Confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness. And that whole idea leads to a mindset that is protective. What's the mindset? Well, it's not like verse 9. Not like the horse and the mule. Verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bitten bridle, lest they come near unto thee. I think the picture here is of a horse, a mule. These are animals that are just completely instinctual. They just live for whatever reason. They can't be, like, if you don't tie up your horse, if you don't tie up your mule, they're going to wander off. And when they wander off, when they're stubborn and they're going against, they're going their own way, they're going to do whatever they want, and that leads to trouble. And what basically the psalmist is saying is, don't make it so that the only way God can direct you is with trouble, essentially, with putting that bit in your mouth and carrying you about that way. Don't go your own way. Submit to God. Don't be stubborn. Let him guide you. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord and the Lord mercy shall compass him about. Again, there you go. Mercy compassing about. It's a protective thing, right? Like, if you just trust in the Lord, when he says go this way and you go that way, don't go this way and you don't go that way, it's protective. You're encompassed by mercy. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord. And rejoice, you righteous, for shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Why? Because you're forgiven. And in that forgiveness, you follow him. In that forgiveness, you're protected. Man, it's amazing how much these songs give just really good instruction to us. There's not really a good reason to not pursue God's forgiveness. God offers it. God desires it. There's a lot of difficulty that comes when we don't pursue it, when we don't receive it. And there's so many great things, joy, relief, and protection when we do receive God's forgiveness. I hope this helps you. I say that every time, but I hope it did help you in your preparation for this lesson. And I think as you think about how this applies to your own life and think about how it applies to your class's life, it'll be pretty easy to call them to seek forgiveness and receive all the joys from that. Hope you have a great day. See you later.